put a few minutes together in the book of Acts chapter 18. We have been with Paul on a journey. And that journey has taken us from Berea, actually from Thessalonica to Berea. Now, some of you who saw this here this morning thought, ha, he prepared a switch for us. Actually, Royal prepared a pointer for me. Thank you. Okay, so we started off over here in Thessalonica, and remember what happened in Thessalonica? Not good stuff. Okay, he was treated very poorly here, and he went on to Berea. And if you recall in Berea, what happened? They were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They searched the scriptures daily to see if the things Paul was teaching were true. And then the Jews from Thessalonica, who had mistreated Paul so terribly, came down and stirred them up against Paul here. So Paul had to wander on. And where do we find? Paul comes to Athens. And we have spent time now in Athens with Paul, with all the statuary, with all the idolatry, with all of the things. They were a very religious people. But Paul confronted that religiousness with the truth of the gospel. Pastor Carl this morning was not trying to confront us, but trying to present us with the truth of the Word of God. You can liturgically take communion, or you can understand in context what does the Scripture teach about communion. It is actually a very somber and serious celebration. The Eucharist, the word means celebration, but it is a serious evaluation of your own walk before the Lord and the necessity to be right with one another. So it was exactly as the Scripture puts it in context, it was presented to us this morning. But what happens? You have Paul confronting their reality in Athens, and hardly anyone got saved. Remember? Hardly anybody. So then you have Paul going on to Corinth. We spoke about the Isthmian Games. We spoke about this little stretch of land here. Can you all see this? Okay? Instead of people traveling around 185 to 200 nautical miles by ship to go around and come back over here, this is only 4 miles at its narrowest point. And so there was a great paved road, the Dolichos Road, paved across here, and people would offload their ships and their cargo, and they would put it on board wooden tramways, and they would bring it across the way over here. And finally, it wasn't until 1896 that a canal was cut through here. But it shaves off 185 to 200 nautical miles, a very treacherous journey by ship. And so they would prefer to offload, before the canal was done, they would prefer to offload and cargo things across or transport them across instead of facing this treacherous waterway. So what you had was Corinth immensely wealthy. These people were getting big bucks for transporting cargoes and ships. If the ships were small enough, they would prop the ships up on the wooden ways and take them across the isthmus. And so you had people going east to west, west to east, north to south. All roads led to Corinth. Now, Paul came to Corinth very dejectedly, if you will, from Athens. God called him to these people. Remember, to the Gentiles. How many remember the dream of the man in Macedonia? Remember, y'all tracking with me here? The man in Macedonia says, come over and help us. Remember his dream? So Paul gets up, tells his companions, we're heading over to Macedonia, guys. That's what God said, right? And what did he run into? What was that word? Trouble. God, I've been fasting and I've been seeking you and I've been wanting your ways. And okay, I know what I'm supposed to do now. Okay, let's go, let's do it. Trouble. Wait a minute. That's not the way it's supposed to work, is it? Come on, you can talk to me. If you really have the leading of the Lord, aren't you supposed to be blessed and nothing but blessed? So help you God. Thank you, Reddy. You're always blessed from his perspective. Sometimes from our perspective, it doesn't always seem like it, does it? Come on, anybody in this room ever have trouble? Yeah. I'll see if I can't get everybody to raise your hand. Anybody in this room ever in your life ever had trouble? Come on, let's see the hands. Okay, thank you. Just got to get you back involved here. Have you ever had trouble? When you've had trouble, have you ever thought to yourself, where'd God go? I thought You were leading me in this. You know, Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof. Oh, dear Lord. Anyway, I won't go there. I bet I can do the whole musical. I won't do it. But I thought I was led to do this. How come if I'm led to do your will, there's trouble? So we find Paul comes to Corinth deeply burdened about the lack of fruit in Athens. This is a man who'd given his whole life. He'd been beaten and left for dead. He'd had trouble on the journey. Would you stop and wonder, did I miss it? Maybe I should have turned left here and went, gone up here and stayed over here. Maybe I shouldn't have done this. Maybe I didn't hear. Let's find out what happens. And there are other people that we're going to learn about. We're not going to spend a long time this morning. Thank you, Royal. We're not going to spend a long time on it this morning, but there are others who have a little trouble on the journey as well. Let's go Acts chapter 18, and we'll pick it up in verses 1 through 3. I know I've done these verses before, but I want us to take a look at some other players in the play this morning. After these things, Paul departed from Athens, went to Corinth. There he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife, Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were, say it with me please, tent makers. Now let's talk about Paul's attitude of heart. I've just talked to you about he approaches the ministry with confidence. He does what God wants him to do, and yet there's some time inside where he's not filled with an overwhelming portion of confidence, because I thought I was doing your will and there was very little fruit. I know I'm called to the Gentiles, but the last big Gentile place I went to, there was not a real successful campaign there, folks. I don't have a big church in Athens. We're actually in a little bit of a mini-series in Acts Alive called Corinth's Crusades, and this is part two. But God guides your steps. Trouble is not always a sign of missing God. Have I repeated that enough for you this morning? If you are engaged in the hard work of counseling, receiving ministry or counseling, how many of you understand it is hard work? If you ever think you're going to go to ministry or counseling and it's just going to be an easy time, marriage counseling, maybe children with their parents, financial counseling, it's hard work. If you're going to do the work of taking a look at your life and responsibly embracing change in your life, change is hard work. How many like it more when God just supernaturally comes down out of the sky, hits you with a meteor, and you change? You're all of a sudden instantly different. If you hit you with a meteor, you'd really be fully different. But, man, it's nice when it happens, bam. But it doesn't always happen that way. It is hard work. But that doesn't mean it's not God. The hard work that Paul faces in Athens, in Corinth, in Berea, in Thessalonica, in all of these places, and we're really tracing his second missionary journey. It's hard work, and it's God. I'm emphasizing a point this morning, and I'm going to do it very purposely. There are many who will tell you in Christianity that life is always easy. My friends, if you have faith, you can get yourself diamonds. You can drive big Cadillacs. And if you have a problem, that's a sign that God abandoned you. I am here to tell you as your pastor, whether or not I'm your pastor, I'm here to tell you that is error. And that is not the Word of God. That is not truth. Don't you wish it was, and every dream came happily ever after, and every nice fairy tale ending happened every day? It doesn't always happen that way. You know where you meet God the most sometimes? In the trenches. Come on, in the trenches. Sometimes when you gut it out and it's been heartbreaking and your kids break your heart or your spouse breaks your heart or your friends break your heart or you've broken somebody's heart and you have to humble yourself and go back and ask forgiveness, your finances go awry, things are full of problems, your Super Bowl team doesn't win, and you have problems in life. doesn't mean God didn't leave you. Just because the Steelers won doesn't mean he's the only blessed one. I'm going to use this all the time. This will be my guitar. This will be everything, won't it? My baton. Anyway, guys, I can't tell you. I know I'm emphasizing the point. I'll move on from it. But there is something really fundamental in our thinking that has to be based on truth in that area. I will tell you as quickly as the next person that I can get discouraged day by day when things get frustrated, and I stop along with everybody else. I stop long enough to say, did I miss God? Am I supposed to be doing something different? Where did I take a wrong turn? What did I do? It's not that you shouldn't examine those things, but you should not come to a conclusion that God abandoned you because there's trouble on the loose. Trouble will refine us. Tribulation worketh patience. Ever pray for patience? Don't ever do it. My attitude, people say you got to pray for patience. You know what I'm quietly thinking? I might bless you and everything, but I never pray for patience. God's going to work that out in my life on his own. He doesn't need my prayers for that. Tribulation worketh patience, the Bible says. Trouble works patience. There's plenty of it in life. It doesn't mean God left you alone. Sometimes in the deepest heartbreak of your life, in the moments of your day, that's when God wants to be most with you. But there's one other thing I've discovered. Sometimes when it is so heartbreaking, you don't always feel God near. That's why this is a walk of faith. Church, I would love to be able to be the first to tell you in your worst moments, you're down and out. Did you see the Super Bowl commercial? The caveman got fired. He turned around and kicked the little dinosaur dog, and then the elephant stepped on him, or the big mastodon stepped on him. I mean, life's like that sometimes. You didn't see that. Oh, it's hilarious. Anyway, you feel like you get squashed in life. It is crucial at those times to remember Jesus is still there. He still loves you. Now, it's always appropriate to examine your life. Did I do something wrong? Are you after me somehow, Lord? But if you don't hear an answer on that, God will tell you if you're wrong. He will lead you to repentance and help you get right. But you don't need to be shotgunned with a blast of, I'm just terrible through and through, God's not with me. Hold on. Keep walking. Sometimes in the worst times, we don't have our answers. Keep walking. Keep walking. Let's take a look at Paul's heart. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to read a few verses. Concluding that God is with you only when life is easy and good is shallow at best, and at worst is error in theology that will lead you astray. Concluding that God is only with you if all is easy and good, is shallow at best. Paul came in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Let's hear Paul's state of mind as he comes to Corinth. And I, brethren, when I come to you, did not come to you with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Folks, sometimes in life, times are so tough, you reduce it right down to what do I really know? What do I know? I know that Jesus is Lord. I know that He was crucified for me. I know that He rose again. That's what I know. What else do you know? I don't know if I know anything else right now, but I know those things are true. Ever felt like that? All right, let's see. Verse 3. I was with you, this is the Apostle Paul. I was with you in, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. In weakness. I was with you in, I'm sorry, this is the Apostle Paul. I mean, this is the man. I was with you in fear. And I was with you in much trembling. My speech, my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The word weakness is the Greek word asthenia, and it means in feebleness, in malady, in frailty. This is the powerful Apostle Paul, who just came heartbroken from Athens. heartbroken. I'm called to the Gentiles. I'm called to, this is a place of dying people that need Jesus, and I hardly got one or two saved. Lord, how many of you bet when he approached Corinth, he approached with a heart that said, I don't want to miss it, Lord. I want to do what you want me to do. And I'm not full of great confidence because that hurts. Help me hear you and do what you want me to do. So I came in weakness. I came in fear. The word literally means alarm or fright. Phobos is the Greek word. I came in trembling. Tromos. Trembling. Quaking with fear. Does that sound like the Apostle Paul to you? But it identifies how he approached them when he came to Corinth. Verse 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What I want you to see most of all is a very tender-hearted Paul hearing and listening for the Spirit for the next steps. There had been trouble. That doesn't mean God wasn't with him. But here's an apostle who's needy. Anyone in this room ever been needy? All right. Guide us, Lord. Help us. And now he finds some new friends on the journey. Now, we call him Aquila, right? We call him Aquila. His name is actually pronounced Akulos. Say Akulos. God bless you. Sounds like he just sneezed. Yeah. Akulos. And his name literally means an eagle. Akulos is the Greek of his name, and his wife Priscilla, and that name is actually pronounced Priscilla. Priscilla. Can you say that with me? Priscilla. Akulos and Priscilla. He meets them in Corinth. He's a native, Akulos is, of Pontus. And they were refugees from a very cruel edict given by the one who sat on the throne in Rome, from Claudius. There was an edict in AD 52 that kicked all of the Jews out of Rome. Can you imagine? If you've been there in business, and he was a tent maker, leather maker, and his house and his home, possibly extended family, they lived in Rome. And an unfair decree from Claudius, who sat on the throne, kicks all the Jews out of Rome. They were refugees. Now, Suetonius, who is a historian of this nature and of this time, rather, talks about, if you read him, the tumults raised by the Jews, and he mentions one, Crestus. Now, hang in here with me, and I'm not going to take long this morning. The word Crestus could easily be confounded by some with the name Crestus, who was an agitator, resulting in disorders. And Crestus sounds an awful lot like Christos, who is Christ. Probably what happened in AD 52 when his decree was sent forth, when you look into the history of it, what happened is fanatical Jews at this time were persecuting Christian brethren. And disturbances were happening all of the time. And because of the trouble, Claudius didn't want to mess around with it. He just didn't want it in his home. So he sent them all away. Ever tried to send all your problems away? They're kind of like boomerangs, aren't they? They come visiting back. But he tried to just send his problem away, so they're driven from Rome. Now, what I want you to understand, without going on and on forever about this, this is a precious couple. A tent-making couple that had to uproot their lives from Rome simply because of an unfair decree that Claudius gave. And it was probably because of Christians having trouble with Jews. But these guys make their way, amazingly, at the same time, and end up where? In Corinth. Now, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. How many believe in this room? Let me see a show of hands. How many believe that God guides you? Okay? Paul comes, you can almost see him, and I'm sure he was, but you can almost see him shuffling his feet from Athens, looking down. He doesn't know who he's going to meet next. All he knows is, God, please be with me. That last one didn't work. All right? And then you have Akulos and Priscilla kicked out of Rome. They make their way to Corinth at the same time. Now, when you do your research and you do your study, they do not know, nor is it a given, and it's probably not, that couple, man and wife, They were not Christians yet. They were tent makers. And when you would go into these communities, it wasn't like it is today in our society. You know, if I sell real estate, then I'm in competition with others who sell real estate in town. Right? Don't look at me like you don't know me. You know I sell real estate, right? If you don't, I have a card for you after the... No, I'm sorry. Okay, we're in competition. All right, but in that day, in Paul's day, they were in guilds. And tent makers would get together with other tent makers, and they helped and worked together. It was the tent making guild, the tent making society, if you will. And so they worked together. Now, the Jews were already off put by the others, and so here you have Aquila and Priscilla, how we commonly know them, and Paul, tent makers, Jews by background, so they're going to end up together. And that's how they did end up together. The scripture tells us it was because of their tent making they ended up together. And what do you have? You have a captive audience. You have Paul without his team. They're still up in Thessalonica taking care of the church. And Paul's making tents day by day. What do you think Paul was talking about? Hey, did you get that Seahawks Steelers game, man? Did you see that? You think Paul was talking about that?
No.
I'll bet Paul was talking about his Jesus. I'll bet Paul, while he fashioned those ropes and made the leather work and he did the thongs and he did all the things that were necessary, Paul's talking about Jesus. And what happened most likely is this precious apostle found some of his earliest converts in Corinth right there with Aquilos and Priscilla as he led them to the Lord. One of the beautiful things, make a long story short, they not only heard what he taught, they went on to become teachers themselves. A great expounder of the Word of God came into an area where they were. His name was Apollos. How many remember Apollos in your scriptures? I don't mean Apollo Creed in the movies. I mean Apollos in the Bible was a great teacher, but he taught error. He wasn't complete on his message. And so you find out that not only were Aquila and Priscilla friends of Paul, not only did he lead them to the Lord, but they became teachers themselves. And they call Apollos aside, teach him a better way. And they go on to be fantastic friends for Paul in the body of Christ. They go on to have a home church in their house. They follow Paul after he leaves Corinth. They go to Ephesus with him. They stay in Ephesus for a long time. Later, when Paul goes to Rome, if you recall, toward the end of his life, he spent 2 years in Rome. They make their way there, and there's a house church in Aquila and Priscilla's home. Now, one of the other beautiful things, as we take a look, and I'm going to make a couple of points and we're going to finish with this. One of the other beautiful things is the ministry of Aquila and Priscilla. How many of you know that today's day and age, what you usually find is husband and wife against each other, and if they make it through so many years, we celebrate their anniversaries. Okay? You go to the Bible, and you find Aquila and Priscilla, you find them mentioned about a half a dozen times as all, but what you find is their life in ministry together. Not only is it what you can do in the Lord, it's what you can do together in the Lord, for the Lord. Friends, family, husbands, and wives can accomplish so much. They're a fantastic team in the Scriptures. Now, just as an aside, it's an interesting little study to take a look at. Her name is mentioned more often than his name first. Some say it's because she was the stronger teacher. Some say it's because, who knows? Doesn't make any difference. If you draw your theology based on whose name's first, you know, you know the first doesn't always give it its importance. You know, there's faith, hope, and what? And we all know that love is the least of all the gifts, right? So if your theology is based on what's third in the list, you're going to end up with bad theology because love is most important, isn't it? So you got faith, hope, and love is the worst. And no, it's not that true. Okay, so all I'm doing is talking Bible study. Okay, let's go on and let's finish up. So they come, they help him, they're in control of their destinies, right? No, they weren't. Let's finish with that kind of point. Aquila, Priscilla, and Paul end up here. Paul's following a vision over to Macedonia, and it's like a pinball. You remember the old pinball machines? Ding, 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 ding. Paul's going, ding, 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 bam. And ends up in Corinth for a year and a half. Because finally, the fruit began to come. There were churches left behind. that this church, Pastor Carl referred to it this morning. Did they need help in their theology? You bet. They needed help learning to live together? You bet. But they were a group of people up and running, doing great things for God. And Paul had responsive people in this terrible place. And he stayed there a long time. And he also got faithful companions, Aquila and Priscilla, out of the deal. And they had been kicked out of Rome. What is the point? Folks, several points and we'll finish. God has you in his hands, even when your times seem tough. Say it with me. God has me in his hands, even when times are tough. God has me in his hands, even when times are tough. Number two, I can trust God for this journey. Say it. I can trust God for this journey, even when I don't know where the journey leads. You know, you always hope you're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and you hope it's not a train coming toward you. I can trust God, even though I don't know where it leads. Number three, I can walk with him, hand in hand, even when I fear. We sang a little song a little while ago, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Grant it, Jesus, this is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. No matter whether I fully understand it or not, no matter whether my grandkids look like they're having trouble in Portland or not, no matter what happens, I can hold on to the never-changing hand of a loving God who is with me on the journey. I may not always know where I'm going. I may not always know how to get there. I may not always know how to navigate through the trouble I find when I'm there, but I do always know that God is there. And number four, God is in control. Say it with me. God is in control. Say it with me one more time. God is in control. Sometimes it feels like we're flying blind. This little boy with his father, and his father was a pastor and preacher, and they used to love just going out Sundays after church and handing out tracts everywhere. And you all think I've got a parcel full of tracts to give you to go hand out after church. No, I don't. Just a story, okay? But it's a great story. Father, son, out there together, knocking on doors, passing out Bible tracts. One day, it was particularly terrible rain. Anybody in Port Ludlow around the area seen rains lately? 40 days, 40 nights? Felt like it. Terrible rains. And the son comes up to his preacher dad after service, and he says, okay, Dad, I'm ready to go. Dad goes, excuse me? Ready to go where? So I'm ready to go pass out tracts. Father says, son, see that? I'm not going to pass out tracts today. The boy was 11 years old. True story. Said, Dad, I know there's somebody out there who needs Jesus today. Can I go? His dad says, okay, son, you can go. Elaine, would you come, please? We'll go to the key of G. You can go. He says, but I want you to be careful, and I don't want you to go too far from here. And the son goes out, pouring down rain, knocks on doors and hands out tracts, knocks on more doors and hands out more tracts. Yes, one tract left. True story. One tract left. Instead of when he was so turning around, because, you know, this had not been a great fruitful day. Anybody ever felt led to do something that didn't work out quite right? Maybe it was the bad pizza I ate. Maybe I didn't get led. One tract left. Lord, there's not been great fruit. I can turn around and go home. I can go back home and be warm. I don't have to fight this. But the little boy said, no, I'm going to try one more door. Knocks on the door. No answer. Okay, I'll try one more. Knocks on the door. No answer. Turns around and starts to walk away. And an 11-year-old boy felt the Spirit of God speak to his spirit and say, I want you to try one more time. Okay, Lord. Rang the doorbell. Knocked on the door. It felt like an eternity, and finally, the door opened, and an elderly lady came to the door. Now, an elderly lady is much older than any person in this room this morning, probably 150 years old, comes to the door. Quietly looks at this little boy, who finally found somebody at home, and he looks at her and reaches out in his hand this tract. He says, "Ma'am, I only have one left, but I've come to your door today because I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Just take the tract and read it, will you?" He turns around and he walks away. In this quiet little voice, the woman says, "Thank you, son. I will read it." She goes inside, reads the tract, and 1 week later, this little lady that nobody knew and had never seen before comes to the church where the little boy went, and his father was the pastor. Everybody takes the time for sharing, and she raises his hand. She said, "Can I share, please, Pastor?" He says, "Sure." Everything gets real quiet. She says, "A week ago, I was upstairs in my attic, and I'd set up a chair, and I'd draped a rope over one of the rafters. My husband died quite some time ago, and he left me very alone, and I have been alone since. And I've been so lonely that a week ago, I was getting ready to stand up on the chair and take my own life. But all of a sudden, there came this really insistent knock at the door. And I thought to myself, well, I'll wait and see if they knock again, because if they don't knock again, I'm going to just go right ahead and kill myself. Because most people wouldn't knock." She said, and then it happened again. And again. And the knocking just got louder. So I had to stop and say, "Who could be at my door?" So I took the rope around my neck off, got down from the chair, and I went downstairs. And I saw this little angel at my door with his beautiful smile, and he handed me this tract. And the little lady told the congregation, "I read that tract, and right then and there I gave my life to Jesus. Because a little 11-year-old boy had spent a day out in the rain where it wasn't fruitful, and he probably had had some doors slammed in his face, and sometimes it gets discouraging and you want to say, I don't want to do this anymore. It's not worth it. I'm soaking wet, I'm cold, and nobody wants me." But a little boy said, "I'll try one more." She looked at that congregation and she said, "And it's because that little angel came to my doorway a week ago, I gave my life to Jesus, and I'm here only because on the back of the tract it has your church name and address, and this is the only place I can come to share." And this pastor, whose little boy had gone out, who didn't want to go himself, walks up to his 11-year-old boy and falls into his arms sobbing, because he was so grateful for his son's willingness to listen to the Spirit. Church, trouble doesn't always mean God's not there. Trouble is not always an indicator that the blessing is lifted. Sometimes God's after seeing if we'll be a little bit more persistent. Sometimes God's after saying, "Will you walk with me anyway? Will you keep going?" Now, I dare say that some people in this room probably have trouble in their lives, and you don't understand the reason, whether it's physical affliction, whether it's soul harmony with someone that's awry, or whether you just don't know how you are with God. But I'm here to tell you, there is a God who's just and who's loving. There is a God who knows you, who sees you. Perhaps you've said, "I've tried and I've tried and I've tried, and I don't know if I want to keep trying anymore." And God says to you, "Go one more time. One more time. Keep at it. Don't give up." Because we serve a God who guides your steps. We serve a Jesus who guides your steps. Do you know that? Come on, church, do you know that? Lord, then why do you always guide me to trouble? Maybe he wants to be with you in your trouble. Would you stand, please? Let's take each other's hands. Lord, we've had a good time in your house this morning. We've had a serious time. Time where we got to examine our own lives. Time where we got to understand we're not playing games. And you're not playing games with us. Lord, we take a look at the journeys of the Apostle Paul, and we could do it as a history lesson. But there's something there you're trying to teach us all. Lord, I guess, right along with everybody else, we can just honestly admit this morning, we don't always get it. We just don't get it. We don't know what you have in mind. We don't know why you're doing what you're doing. But Lord, what we do know is that we want to keep going with you. We want to please you. And we really do want to do your will. We really do want to see little old ladies and little children, middle-aged men and old men and young men. We want to see people come to Jesus. We want to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We want to see our lives agree with your plan. So, Lord, in all of our lives today, we say, take your liberty and do your will, won't you please? We're going to sing through How Great Thou Art, the chorus, one more time as we close. But if you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus, I urge you, let this be the day. You're not here by accident. God knows you, knows who you are. Come on up. We'll be honored to pray with you. If you have something in your heart you want to commit to the Lord and would like some prayer in doing so, come on up. We'll be happy to pray with you. If you have a physical affliction in your body that has not yet been met by the Spirit of the Lord, we believe God heals. Come up and we'll pray for you. Jesus loves you. Do you know that? Can you turn to each other? Say to each other, Jesus loves you. And he's with you. Jesus is with you over there on the piano, too, isn't he? We give you all the praise and all the adoration and all the worship. Do your name. Bless these people who have come here this morning and taken this time. Let them find great fruit in their lives and bring back to things to their remembrance this week. To know that you're right there with them, no matter what happens. Lord, as we walk with you, hand in hand in your will, you're there. We love you, Lord. Bless this congregation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic day in the Lord. Be released.